How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Well, it's Monday here on the show, and you know what that means? Raw is tonight. But that is very low on the list of topics we're going to be talking about here today. Because, of course, this weekend it is AEW, Double or Nothing. And Thursday I will be heading out for the Double or Nothing weekend. We got a lot of really fun things planned in Las Vegas for all of you that happen to be going. We've got brunches and dinners and a live Q&A, and Ed's got a wrestling show or something. And yes, of course, on Sunday it is a Double or Nothing. So obviously we're going to talk about AEW here today, but there's a lot of other stuff that we got to get into as well. And yes, we will briefly talk about Sasha and Naomi, but only briefly, because we got a lot of other things. But I do want to send out best wishes to Will Ospreay, who is currently suffering from a kidney infection. And at one point yesterday, had a 104-degree fever, which is not good. This from Dave Meltzer. He was scheduled to headline York Hall yesterday, defend his British title against Minoru Suzuki. It's serious business, and until the infection clears, he won't have an estimate of when he can return to the ring, but what he has is no joke. He said he has been as miserable as he has ever been. He cannot stand without feeling like he is about to faint, and he gets bad sweats as well as bad chills. 104-degree fever. So best wishes to Will Ospreay. Hopefully he feels better soon. We got a lot of news, actually, coming out of Japan today. We have an update on Kota Ibushi. It is not a good update. We actually have an update on, of all things, Dragon Gate and Noah. Yes, we'll talk about that. Plus, yes, Sasha and Naomi and the women's tag team titles, Roman Reigns, and so much more. SmackDown, Rampage, whatever you want to talk about. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Muxim Ravivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. I got a lot of news to get into, including Sasha and Naomi stripped of the women's tag team titles. Somehow they're going to do a tournament to determine new champions, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But first off, this certainly is not good news. So Kota Ibushi has been having a lot of issues with New Japan, and he was tweeting like a just one tweet after another, and then everything got quiet for a while. Well, now he's tweeting again, and it's not good. So these translations are from a friend of mine in Japan, so hopefully this will be a decent translation, because a lot of the tweets, people were just running the tweets through the translator thing, and that's not always good. So this is from somebody who speaks Japanese translating these tweets. The first tweet says, "I know it's sudden news, but I can't take it. Names and screenshots that I posted are actual facts. Though I was hesitant, the current situation of my mother makes it impossible for me not to let people know. They still have not apologized. Neither Kikuchi or Obari feel guilty. They texted me a dismissal notice without meeting face-to-face. My mother noticed I had an issue and let me know her concern. Because I reached the limit of my patience, I talked to her about their texts and constant power harassments, and she said faint-heartedly, 'You can quit.' She attempted suicide the next day. Said explicitly, Kikuchi and the president were unforgivable. That's why I will fight until the end. What they did was definitely unforgivable. I contacted them for a meeting only to be unheard. With the help from some people, a meeting is scheduled in the near future. I've been consulting with my agent as well. Kikuchi, President Obari, do you understand? My mother attempted a suicide right after Mother's Day. A failed remote murder. It is a miracle that she survived, but can you heal her waist bone? Many things have happened, but it would cause trouble to some people." So those are his most recent tweets. I think that was earlier this morning. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but it's not good at all. And I'm not thinking we're going to see Ibushi in New Japan. All the best to him and his family. I mean, I don't even know she'd be in wrestling. So, not good at all, but that's what he says. So, I'm presuming there is more to come, but he does say that there is a meeting scheduled in the near future between his side and New Japan. So, I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, not much to add. A lot of heavy things to lay at the feet of the management of New Japan there, but obviously issues are much deeper than we want them to be. So all the best to everybody involved there.
I also have a story about another issue in Japan involving, of all things, Noah and Dragon Gate. When's the last time we talked about Noah and Dragon Gate here on this show?
Long time.
Been a while. So Noah and Dragon Gate are working together. They're doing an interpromotional storyline. And this is actually interesting because, you know, every time we talk about anything involving Impact, AEW, New Japan, they got the Forbidden Door pay-per-view coming up, which, by the way, Will Ospreay did an interview and noted, I found out about that on social media. Like, nobody told him anything that there was going to be an AEW New Japan joint show. He found out on social media. And, you know, everybody always comes up with all of these ideas, these dream matches. You know, I'd love to see this match. I'd love to see that match. And as I've said, literally from day one, because I talked to people in AEW about this, and they believe that Forbidden Door is going to be a great show. If you buy the show, you're going to love it. But, like, don't be expecting every dream match you can possibly think of is going to be on this show. Because, A, you just, I mean, there's a shame to say, A, you just can't. Because there are going to be politics. And there are going to be certain people that can't lose, certain people that can lose. And, you know, both sides are going to do what they can do to put on a great show. But you're not going to get every single dream match that you've always wanted because of politics. And it's like that anytime there's any sort of intra-promotional battle. And usually when there are intra-promotional feuds, the powerful company, things aren't good for the not powerful company. So Noah and Dragon Gate are working together. And the way it was described to me, and somebody approached me from Dragon Gate, and Dave as well, so Dave will have more in The Observer. But they wanted this story out because what they explained was, in Japan, all of the magazines and etc., they always side with the promotions. And so if the wrestlers are upset with something that's going on in a promotion, it doesn't do any good to go to the Japanese media because they're not going to tell you about it. They're going to always side with the promotions. And so they wanted to essentially get this story out. And their feeling is the only way to really get the story out is to get it out in the American media, and then maybe people in Japan will hear about it. That's how it was explained. So essentially what's happened is Nozawa is the booker of this the interpromotional stuff between Noah and Dragon Gate. And Nozawa is with Noah, okay? So they're like, the Dragon Gate wrestlers are very unhappy with what's going on because essentially they sort of were under the impression that, okay, well, anything intra-promotional, Nozawa is going to be booking. Well, now he's got his hand in everything. He's got his hand in the I guess the King of Gate tournament that's coming up, which has nothing to do with Noah. It's just a Dragon Gate tournament, and he's got his hand in that. And apparently, all of the wrestlers are very upset with how this is going. They loved the old Dragon Gate booking committee, which is no longer putting these things together. So anyway, that I bring it up because, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but this is what happens. It's happening right now with Dragon Gate and Noah, and I'm not saying that a similar thing is going to happen with, like, New Japan and AEW or AEW and Impact, but these are the issues that you have to deal with when you're working with another company and you're doing interpromotional stuff. So anyway, that's the story of Noah and Dragon Gate. There's a lot of unhappiness among the Dragon Gate wrestlers for the booking that Noah is doing, both in the interpromotional battle and non-interpromotional stuff as well. And I guess we'll see how it pans out, but that's the story.
Probably a lot more on this coming up in the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, which we're going to record right after this show is over. Nozawa re-signing with Noah, even though he is not going to be the booker anymore down the road, but he has re-signed with Noah, which is a pain for some people, no matter what position he's in, if he's going to be on the shows. Having his hands in the mix with Dragon Gate doesn't really make any sense with things that have nothing to do with Noah. That just baffles me. But that's the way it goes. But when it comes to AEW and New Japan, I think we've already seen Noah and New Japan have interpromotional matches where we didn't get every dream match in the world just because, like you mentioned, we can't, because there's other politics involved. There's other things that are taking place. And that's just the way it goes with some of these. But you're going to have some really good matches. You're going to have some surprises. You're going to have some good stuff. And I think, I don't think anybody, I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to set their expectations way too high and expect just a rundown of dream singles and tag matches all up and down that show. But I mean, I think if you're smart enough to watch that show and you're into both of these promotions, you'll understand that there are going to be limitations. Kota Ibushi, let's say, appearing on this show probably is not going to happen. And that's just going to be fascinating moving forward, too. If Kota Ibushi does stay involved in professional wrestling, how he is going to play in America, because New Japan has got a relationship with almost everybody besides WWE, and I can't see Kota Ibushi ever going there. But I can see him going to AEW, and what problems will that cause any relationship that New Japan and AEW have? It's going to be very, very interesting moving forward.
Well, if you hit all weekend to avoid the Sasha Naomi story, perhaps you missed that they announced on SmackDown they had let you down. Millions of fans let down when they walked out of Raw on Monday. They have, in fact, been stripped of their women's tag team titles. They have been suspended indefinitely. There are, at this point, zero plans for them to return. There is zero talk whatsoever about the two of them as it pertains to creative. And so the next question is, well, what the heck are we doing for a tournament? So we'll talk about that after the break. Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com.
What's up?
Just getting to talk about Sasha Naomi. It's like talking about NXT 2.0.
Oh, man. Why do you keep doing this?
But listen, I'm going to make it quick. Because you know what? I don't know if you know this or not, but
you're a masochist?
It's impossible to talk about Sasha, particularly Sasha, without everyone losing their minds. Okay.
Yes.
But remember how they were offering Sasha versus Ronda in a singles championship match on pay-per-view? And then Naomi was going to face Bianca in a singles championship match on pay-per-view.
Yes.
And they didn't want to do it. Yes. They wanted to defend the tag titles or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like all of their supporters are like going nuts about these women's tag team titles and how important they are. And, you know, even if you make the argument like these women's tag team titles are completely, absolutely, totally useless, they are not needed. Well, then the argument became, well, they wanted to make them meaningful. That's the one I heard all weekend. Well, they wanted to make them meaningful. Okay.
Maybe they did.
That's fine. That's great. Hey, if you're the women's tag team champions and you want to make them meaningful, more power to you. But this is a serious question. How in God's name could you possibly make the women's tag team championships meaningful when you don't even have any tag teams? It's one thing if you're like Ricochet and you're like, you know what? I'm going to make this whatever belt he's got.
I see.
I'm going to make this Intercontinental Championship meaningful. Well, he's not gonna, okay, obviously. But at least you could argue, well, it's possible. There's 80 men available to wrestle for that. Like, it's possible. But, bro, it's not even possible to make the women's tag team championships meaningful. You don't have any teams. So here's the tournament so far, everybody. And I shouldn't even say so far because, like, you know, creative has been tasked with come up with a tournament. So they're in the exact same boat that we all are. How? Well, this is what we got so far. Nikki and Doudrop, which are at least being pushed as a team. Dana and Tamina, who are not a team, and in fact have been doing nothing but feuding. Looks like they're probably going to end up being a team.
Makes sense in WWE's universe.
Shayna and Natty, who are a team. So we actually have two teams, we can confirm. Zelina and Carmella, who are absolutely not a team. They've broken up twice and are feuding. And that's it. That's it. So prior to the decision of, hey, we need to make some teams here, when they walked out, there were two teams other than them in WWE. There was Doudrop and Nikki, who, by the way, just got put together, and Shayna and Natty. But they were going to make these belts meaningful. How? So they're now talking, you know, they've sent word down to NXT, you know, think about some women that might be able to be a team. So that's where we're at right now. So yeah, you might see Casey and Caden get called up.
Oh my.
Because we need teams. But bro, it doesn't matter who ends up winning this tournament. You can't make the women's tag titles meaningful.
Yes,
there are
you
no
can.
Teams.
Yes, you can.
How?
By creating teams and actually caring about the division, which is too much to ask for because they've never cared about the men's tag team titles, except for very few teams that they end up recycling over and over and over and over against each other. Sometimes in great matches. Look, every Usos match I can think of with the New Day was always good. And then it got to be the 7,436 one, and it's like, you have 9 million people on this roster. Can we get some more teams happening here? And the same goes for the women. Like, do you know who has been MIA for God knows how long? Io Shirai, one of the best women's wrestlers in the world.
Well, she may very well be hurt.
Well, okay. So take her out of the mix. But again, you have how many people on that roster? You have how many people in NXT that, like Caden and Casey, why isn't there another person that Shotzi can't? Why can't she hook up with somebody else and have a team? And then you stick with it. But the problem is they don't stick with anything. And that's why when it comes to, look, there's a lot of things when it comes to Sasha and Naomi. And I know you have a higher level of trolls that you've been fighting off and are not looking at it from everybody's points of view on certain things here. But when it comes to, like, the booking of everything, it's like, of course it's sloppy. And it's a mess. And it's why have these titles at all if you're not going to have any women's team? So it's an easily fixable thing. Put some effort behind it and stick to it. That's as hard as it is.
Here's
Brian,
the other
look,
issue
with the men's tag titles. How many teams have there been? There's been the Usos. There's been
and
Alpha
they're
Academy,
meaningless as well.
But that's but at least you have three teams in rotation. With the women, it's again. Why don't you always have three teams revolving around those belts? It's your own. You're doing this. It's your own fault. It's your own hand. Why you can't book this? You can't figure it out over 5 hours of television between your two main shows every week. You can't figure it out.
No, they can't figure it out. That's the point. And you know what else? For everyone talking about these NXT teams.
That's every belt they have, though, too.
For these NXT teams here, okay? Yeah, everyone's going, oh, you can bring up this Io Shirai. Guess what? Does anyone here think, okay? Does anyone here think that they're going to call up four teams from NXT and they will remain on the main roster?
Oh, hell no.
Of course not. They're going to be called up for the tournament. They're all going to lose, and they're going to go back to NXT, and you're going to be down to two teams again.
Tatum Paxley. Who does she team with? She in this thing or is she in the other one? The other tournament?
Yeah, another guy in the chat here, he was yelling at me for talking trash about Sasha. Did I say one thing about Sasha? I didn't say anything except there's no teams and nobody can make these belts meaningful. And it is the exact same thing with the tag teams. It's the exact same thing. Except now, here's the difference. Well, it's kind of a difference. Now that they've unified the titles, they can probably find five or six men's teams across two brands.
Unless
the Usos unify the titles and then they just take them off all the shows, like they did with Roman Reigns.
Well, they don't
Roman Reigns did another interview this weekend and confirmed his reduced house show schedule. He's not on Hell in a Cell. He's not going to be doing any Sunday shows. He's only going to be doing a few shows this summer. And he's the unified champion.
Gotta let the body rest, brother.
He's not getting the body rest. It's like he's got millions of dollars and he's got two sets of twins and another child.
That's it, man. Like, hey, bro. You got to let everything rest. Let your mind rest. You want to play with the kids, all that sort of stuff. I want to see Twitter updates from Roman Reigns as if he's in the ring just from his house. I know sometimes it's too over the top, but him breaking the fourth wall and doing commentary during his matches actually makes me happy. So I'm going to miss those. So if he could just do those every once in a while, give me a couple of Twitter updates, a couple of IG updates exactly in that way, that'll make me happy, Tribal Chief.
Should know that everyone's talking about Pat McAfee's reaction when Michael Cole read his speech. And
You say Pat, what a worker Pat is.
He's
Pat
not
is
a worker. Best. Actually, he was
I
on
love
his,
him.
He was on his show today.
Say he's on the radio show today. He was working.
What do you mean he was working?
I don't know, man.
Pat McAfee on the show today said, and I don't doubt this at all. You can if you want to, but I don't doubt it. He goes, nobody tells me anything.
Well, that's true. Come on.
He goes,
I
had no idea what was going on. Nobody told me that they were being suspended. Nobody told me that I was sitting there listening to it, hearing it at the exact same time you all were. And that was his reaction, like, wow.
I believe that 100%, Brian. I believe that 100%. What I also believe is he saw and word got back to him, whether I'm sure on social media, I'm sure it did. And I'm sure from friends it did. I don't know from the office if it did or not. But his reactions that, of course, got blown up and put everywhere as if he was putting the stink face on this whole thing, as he was distancing himself as Michael Cole read the prepared statement that he had in high drama. I mean, I'm sure he knew that he had to say something and, of course, go. Now he's going, this is fascinating. It is fascinating, Pat, and I'd love to see what comes out of the entire thing when everything shakes out. But I'm sure he heard something about some of the faces that he was accused of making.
Yeah, but you know
Michael
what's funny?
Cole was reading that.
Do you guys ever actually watch SmackDown and watch Pat McAfee? He does
he's
that face
man.
All the time.
he's
he
nut.
Always sits there and he furrows his brow and he goes, and he chews on his pencil or whatever. That's Pat McAfee's face. He did absolutely nothing different during the Sasha Naomi segment than he does on any segment when Michael Cole's rambling on about something else. He always looks like that. But this time there was some... Oh,
Brian, you're not going to win.
You
this.
Know that face.
Here we go.
I'm not here to win. I'm telling you.
You're,
I'm telling
you're
you facts.
You're just here to keep poking. You're just
no,
poking
I'm not
away.
Poking anybody.
Yes, you are.
I'm just
a
telling
week
you
of this now.
All the facts.
Are you tired of being just beaten
Pat
to death?
Pat McAfee's face.
Jesus,
that's just what he does. That's
Your
just
face.
How he looks. When Michael Cole is explaining to you fans at home that the brawling
we've been
brutes.
Let down.
The
they
brawling brutes have lost, what's his name, Butch. Pat McAfee's going to sit there and go, hey, lost Butch. He's going to do the same face.
No, he's not. He's going to actually get in a Pete reference and then go, oop, I mean Butch. I know those guys, you know. That's what he'll say.
People are going, why are you so bothered by this? I'm actually the least bothered by this. You guys are the ones who are bothered by this. That's the problem.
I don't think you're going to be doing too much convincing, but I think you know that, too.
Well, if people are upset about this, then they can deal with it in their own way. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
You're clear.
Man, I can't wait till I talk about NXT 2.0 tomorrow and everyone starts crying I'm not talking about Sasha.
Oh, boy.
Tomorrow's NXT 2.0, Braun Breaker versus Duke Hudson.
No, I want to cry.
You know what Duke's new gimmick is?
What's that?
I'm 6'5". That's his new gimmick.
And my feet's covered to the ground, I walk home.
I'm 6'5". This guy knows how to get called up.
I'm tall, brother.
Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp will be facing Pretty Deadly.
Oh, boy.
Indy Hartwell will face Mandy Rose. Malik Blade and Edris Enofi will be facing Stax and Two Dimes. That one could be something else, let me tell you.
Stack of Dimes is a neck. It's got to be a rib on these guys. I mean, my God. Could they have... I mean, they made such a stereotype out of Tony D'Angelo, you know, to the nth degree. Why didn't they at least, you know, do the same thing with those? Like, get, like, Nunzio and Big Vito. You know what I mean? Get, like, guys who look like that. Instead, you have those two geeks. It doesn't work at all. Doesn't work at all. At least Legado de Fantasma looks like a group that belongs together.
Look at all these people asking... Who?
Exactly.
Bro, Stacks and Two Dimes. Where have you been?
Remember, Stacks got shot in the head in Goodfellas.
These are Tony D'Angelo's bros. One guy is apparently rich because he's called Stacks. The other guy is essentially, I guess, poor because he's Two Dimes. Now, why these guys are buddies, I don't know. Maybe Stacks pays for Two Dimes. And then Two Dimes does something in return. Kidnaps people.
Two dime bags, I would assume.
I should say Two Dimes.
Two Dimes.
Yeah. He's got 20 cents to his name.
Maybe Two Dimes because he's got like two fine women on his arms, two tens on his arms at all times, except
well,
on
that's
NXT
never,
winners.
Not one time ever been shown on NXT.
No.
Elektra Lopez faces elbow fire. Sangha will be facing Wes Lee. I can't wait for that one. And Von Wagner faces Ikemen Jiro. Those
well,
are
he's
your
tall too. That's why he's going to get called up.
It's your
not
NXT.
Ikemen, the other one.
Well, of course they're going to call up. Actually, it's funny. They called up Von Wagner. You guys forget that?
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 months ago, he showed up and he was like the heavy for Adam Pearce for like a day, and then we never saw the guy again. Ric Flair's final match should be announced today. Well, it will be Ric Flair and FTR versus Rock and Roll Express and not Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So we'll find out who the partner is later today.
Filthy.
Oh, come on. Get out of here. Filthy will be up today on Filthy 4 Daily. But, by the way, you know, many of you won't care, but it'll be head-to-head with Raw because Filthy's got a, I don't know if it's kindergarten or first grade, but one of his kids is graduating. Must be a smart kid. So, that's right during our normal show.
Do they
time.
Go to the same school that Chris teaches at that you guys spoke
no,
at?
No, actually, I should ask. I don't think they do, but now I'm interested. Maybe Filthy's kids were in that career day thing I did. Man, I was a big star to those kids. You know what happened? It was funny. So I'm there for career day, and it's via Zoom, and like none of these kids could possibly have cared less. I mean, they're in the background doing jumping jacks and everything like that. They're not paying any attention whatsoever, and I'm just rambling about radio, which they don't even know what a radio is. They think it's a microwave, and I'm talking, and no, absolutely nobody cares. And then, you know, they can ask questions or whatever, and, you know, it's just like, God, no one cares. And then one of the questions is, have you ever won a championship? I was like, things just falling apart here. I'm going to grab the Texarkana title. Man, I held that Texarkana title up to the screen. And all of a sudden, I have somebody. These kids, like, boom. All of a sudden, there's a line to ask questions. And I was there. I was only supposed to be there for, like, 20 minutes. I was there for, like, an hour and a half. And finally, Chris had to go. He's got to go get ready for another show. Man.
Did you then
I've never
charge,
been such a big star as I was.
Did you then charge them all for cameos?
God, afterwards? I should have. I should have charged money at that point. Man, oh man.
Look at you shaking hands and signing autographs for the kids virtually there.
Hey, they were all happy, so brought a little joy to their life on that
day. Did
they
say, did they ask you to bring the belt to Vegas so they could wear it?
They wanted me to go to the school. When I said I was going for AEW, they were like, oh, come to the school! But apparently they're out of school that day, so.
Well, I mean, this sounds like, I don't know if Chris is at a school of means, you know, a charter school or a private school or something like that, but I mean.
I was trying to sell them tickets to the steakhouse.
Well, I mean, they could book Oreo the Orca and you to come, and you can prove that you are not Oreo, and maybe you can put on a little demonstration for the kids, a little whale on man action for the Texarkana Championship in front of the children.
Excuse me, what? You know what Chris said? He said I was going to do a shout out to the kids live. And he goes, well, I'll get the audio later because sometimes that Semper Vivi can say some naughty things. It's not good to have a reputation like that, Mike.
What, the truth? The truth isn't naughty. The truth is the truth. Sometimes it needs to be said. Sometimes you need to hear things in a certain way.
You talked about whale on man
especially
action.
You.
You can't talk about that with a bunch of first through fifth graders watching on Zoom. That's horrible.
You are talking about pro wrestling to these small impressionable kids, for heaven's sakes,
yeah.
Who probably went home and then attempted those moves on their brothers
and sisters.
Don't
try this at home.
And you're not taking any responsibility for that whatsoever. So, you know.
By the way.
Yes, go ahead.
The decision to follow through with unifying the Raw and SmackDown tag titles was made at the last minute on Friday.
You don't say.
I mean, it's abundantly clear because there were no plans to unify the titles. And if you're going to unify the titles, it might have been nice to do it on an actual pay-per-view where you literally have nothing except a and I'm not saying, you know, Cody and Seth in a cage is nothing, but there's nothing on the line. It's just a match. It's just, we've wrestled twice. We're going to do it again. That's the biggest match on the show. No big championship matches. I guess we have Asuka and Bianca that just thrown together last minute in a 6-minute main event. But
don't say that.
That's what happened. Mm. It was thrown together at the last minute.
I know.
In a 6-minute main event. If I get in trouble for speaking the truth about what actually happened.
The professionalism of this company, my God, I think they're letting us all down. Jesus. Tear up things at the last minute, advertise things, and then
pull them off.
You know, advertise people, and then they no-show. My God, I'm one of the millions that feel, I'm starting to feel let down by WWE. Feeling let down?
It took this. I've been let down by WWE since at least 2018. That's when this slide started.
Captain Obvious today on a Monday.
So anyway, they unified the titles, in case you missed it. The Usos are now the unified tag team champions. They have injured Riddle. They have injured Randy Orton, which is going to set up Roman Reigns versus Riddle at some point. Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. And in September, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre in the castle. The clash at the castle.
You know, you and Dave talked about Drew getting booed, and like there's concern about that. I mean, if he faces Tyson Fury, he's going to get booed there too, isn't he? He's a Scottish guy, and Tyson Fury is a big mainstream boxing sports hero and huge personality. He's getting booed out of the building there too. I think he's got a better shot against Roman. And realistically, who cares? As long as both of them are getting a reaction, that's really all that matters. If you can get a natural reaction where they're not pumping in a bunch of sound, which I believe they're going to get when those two face off against each other in Wales, if that's what it happens to be, awesome.
This person here said it started way before 2018, Brian. Hold on a second. Yeah. Hold on. Well, hold on. Hold on. Must I clarify again?
What, Brian? Yes.
Okay, first off.
First things last.
I watched all of Monday Night Raw from 1995 through the end of the WCW-WWE invasion. And I know that that's a glory period and everything. And I know that The Rock and Steve Austin, and there were a lot of great things, okay? But there was some horrible booking during that period. If you want to talk about from 2003 on, you will always find periods where things were good, but there was a lot of stupid booking then as well. Yes, there's been stupid booking in WWE for decades, decades, decades. But if you have been watching, as I unfortunately have, every single solitary Raw and SmackDown since 1995, I've missed, I can count on two hands the number of Raw and SmackDown shows I've missed. I've seen everything, okay? 2018, the summer of 2018, was when this went from being bad here and there to careening off the cliff. And world championship wrestling level booking. That was the summer of 2018. And you know, it was right around the time of the rise of Becky Lynch. That was, they had some storylines that were so absolutely stupid. And they only got worse starting in the summer of 2018. That was when this all accelerated. I'm not saying that's when it began. I'm saying that's when it totally, irredeemably fell off a cliff. Was the summer of 2018. So yes, obviously they've been doing dumb stuff forever. But that was really when it all changed.
And how many stars they got? How many stars have they created? You know, Brock Lesnar is part-time. Roman Reigns is transitioning into part-time. Or however you want to, you know, give his status. Ronda Rousey, You know, it's a big name for the mainstream. It's a big name to put on ESPN, but I think amongst WWE fans, I mean, yeah, she's somebody, but I don't think she's somebody in the way that they look at Bianca or Becky or Charlotte Flair. I don't think they even Sasha. I think they look at all of those women and put them in higher regard than they have Ronda Rousey. But, you know, they've made something out of Bianca, but they've whiffed completely on Rhea Ripley, unfortunately. Now, it's not that they can't save her, but I think they have messed up badly. She should be a star by now. She should be in the mix, a name by now, and unfortunately, she's not. They have nobody backing up Roman and Brock, except for the same names that Randy Orton. I mean, again, we've seen Randy Orton against everybody. We've seen Dolph Ziggler, if they decide to bring him back off the pile, because we haven't seen him and Bobby Roode for a while. You know, I mean, both of those guys, I mean, it's nice to see him go, but I mean, they're not stars as far as
I think Bianca's a big star.
But she should be. I think she's
No, I think she is.
I think she is on the way to being. I don't know if she's there. I think a lot of people want her to be there in their minds. She's there, but I don't know. I want to see it continue because they've done everything for the most part, they've done almost everything right with her as far as how they've positioned her. I just want to see it continue and not have a bunch of banana peel stuff and a bunch of bad booking happen that slips her up. I mean, look, we'll see what happens with Lacey Evans. You know, are they going to recognize that they've gotten pushback about possibly making her a heel and maybe rethink that one? You know, they're again, they need to create people, and that's the one thing they have not done over the past several years. They lucked into Becky, and they did everything they could to try to fight the fans on Becky Lynch, and she broke through anyway. But you see where that's at right now, so we'll see.
Says she's not really a mainstream star. Bro, there's
Ooh, Bianca?
Their mainstream stars are Ronda Rousey, and it's not because of WWE. I don't even think Brock Lesnar. Rock.
Rock.
And as far as mainstream stars, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. By the way, I mentioned this a while ago, but you know, somebody had made a very good point to me that all the hijackers are gone. All those fans that used to hijack the crowds in, you know, 2016, 17, 18.
I thought you meant
hijack.
And
their theory was, well, they just quit watching and all went to watch AEW. And it's funny because if you watch the WWE crowds before and after AEW, it is a stark difference, which makes me wonder, like, if AEW had not come along, what would this company be like today in terms of, like, the fans just getting more and more angry at everything that gets done? Back in a moment, Observer Live. Hey. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Hamish says, I've determined the Acclaimed, the Ass Boys, and their Papa Together are the greatest faction of all time. Every single one of their backstage bits made me laugh out loud so hard. It is incredible, this team. They are the greatest.
Poor Anthony Bowens. I'm sorry he's gone, but Max Caster and the S Boy, yeah, it's a natural. I don't know if it's a natural, but it's a great combination.
Dave on Twitter says, the start time for Friday's Rampage is up in the air. They announced 5:30 on Friday, but it depends on hockey, and there are multiple possible scenarios. My question, this person says, isn't this week a live show? What are they going to do with the TV tapings in Vegas? That's a great question. And what I would do is, dude, if you don't know when it's starting by the end of the day, then the show starts at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern.
Uh-huh.
And you just get those cameras rolling. And
it's live to tape. That's what you do.
It's live to tape. That's all you can do.
The only guarantee you need to get from them is, will it be any earlier than this in the day? The answer will probably be no. So that's when you go, and when that show gets aired, that's when the show gets aired. That's just how it works. That's how you got to deal with it.
So Zoda, myself, and Filthy Tom Lawler will be up at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern today. A floating schedule, just like Rampage. We will be head-to-head with Monday Night Raw. Tom and I talking SmackDown. We're going to go head-to-head with Raw to talk SmackDown. And also New Japan Strong. Plenty of other topics as well. And that's it. I'll be back tomorrow with more tonight, Wrestling Observer Radio. Check out WrestlingObserver.com, everybody. Sign up today. You won't regret it. It's a very busy week. Talk to you again next time, Wrestling Observer Live.